Hey, what it do, sports fans? Welcome to the Sports Live podcast brought to you by Multimedia Live. I'm Sboom Jikeliso, your host, and I will be joined by various guests on this exciting new podcast to discuss the latest ins and outs of the sporting world. Sunday, 14th July, will go down as the greatest sporting day ever in my book. And what a day it was. Some of the sting and the goosebumps would have worn off by the time you hear this. But trust me, I still have chills thinking about the greatness that was the Wimbledon final, the Cricket World Cup final, the Africa Cup of Nations semifinals, the Tour de France, the Netball World Cup, the John Deere Classic, and the British Grand Prix. Oh, there was so much to take in. I'll do a quick roundup for you of the major action, but for detailed reports, opinion, and analysis, I'll hand you over to Times Live, Sowetan Live, and BD Live. First things first, cricket came home. England won their first Cricket World Cup when they beat New Zealand on the most marginal of technicalities after the two teams were tied at the end of the match and at the end of the Super Over. A quick explanation, New Zealand batted first and made 241 for 8 in their 50 overs. England came in and made 251 all out in reply. In the Super Over, England batted first and made 15 runs. And New Zealand replied with their 15 runs, meaning the match was tied on all counts. Enter paragraph 13 of the ICC laws, which says, in the event of a tie after a super over in a one-day international match, the team that scores the most boundaries will be declared the winner. In the final, New Zealand made 14 fours as well as three sixes, while England made 24 fours and two sixes. England were therefore declared world champions. It was dubbed the greatest finish to any cricket match ever and could rank high in the overall sporting category too. But we will chat more about that with our special guest for this episode, whom I will reveal to you shortly. As if that wasn't enough, at the same time the madness at St. John's Wood was unfolding, Roger Federer and Novak Djokovic were caught in a Wimbledon classic in southwest London. Novak Djokovic claimed his fifth Wimbledon title, denying Roger his ninth, when he won a fifth set tiebreak in the longest Wimbledon final ever. It was the Serbian's 16th Grand Slam title. I will have to just put Novak Djokovic top of the list of my arch nemesis because he just beat Roger Federer. Rafael Nadal used to take the spot. Novak, unfortunately, seems like you are now the number one enemy of Roger Federer until another enemy has been defined. Now, on the same day, our Spa Proteas defeated the second best team in the globe, Jamaica, 55-52 at the Netball World Cup. And by the time this comes out, they would have faced Scotland and will be gearing up to face Uganda, but they should have no problems making it into the playoffs. Not to be outdone by the Sunday madness, South African Daryl Impey won Stage 9 of the Tour de France on the anniversary of Bastille Day, riding for Team Mitchelton Scott. If by now you've not died of exhaustion, you would have caught the AFCON semifinals that provided two thrillers. Senegal beating Tunisia 1-0 in extra time in a match where either side had a penalty saved in regulation time. Madness. And Algeria beating Nigeria 2-1 thanks to an Ekong own goal and a Riyad Mahrez 95th minute late finish. Senegal and Algeria will meet in the final on Friday. And that is not even the end of what happened this past sporting weekend. South African Dylan Fratelli stunned the field to win the John Deere Classic in Illinois by two shots, which also booked him a place at this week's British Open, which will be held in Northern Ireland. I'm not done yet. Same Sunday, Lewis Hamilton had to cap off the madness by ignoring his Mercedes team's instructions to make a pit stop as he charged for the finish at the British Grand Prix. As it turned out, his instincts were right because he won the race over teammate Valtteri Bottas to claim his sixth British Grand Prix, the most of any Formula One driver in history. Ferrari's Sebastian Vettel and Red Bull's Max Verstappen crashed into each other during the race, with the former taking responsibility for that accident. Whew, what a day of sport. What a Sunday, what a weekend of sport. I am thoroughly, thoroughly exhausted. And it won't end there. Now, do you believe me when I say that Sunday, July 14th was the greatest day in sporting history? I'm sure you do by now. But as much as I would like to bask in the glory of what a wonderful day it was, we have to move on to this coming weekend. And that's the upcoming international rugby season.
Tune in to Cargumentative every Monday morning on Times Live Motoring. You can join myself, Thomas Faulkner, and my regular gang of automotive misfits as we discuss motoring news, views, and of course, have a cargument or two. That's Cargumentative, only on Times Live Motoring.
To advertise on the Sports Live podcast, email us at smiths@tisoblackstar.co.za. Now, I can't wait till I say this is the Sports Live podcast brought to you by, this is your name, your entity, your brand, right after the Sports Live podcast. That's smiths@tisoblackstar.co.za. Smith S, S-M-I-T-H-S at tisoblackstar.co.za. The Springboks are in town. They face the Wallabies at Ellis Park in their opening rugby championship game. At the other end of the South Atlantic Ocean, Argentina will host New Zealand's All Blacks. It is a shortened tournament, so there will only be one round of matches this time around. The travel and the shortened program has forced Springbok coach Rassie Erasmus to pick two squads, one that will play at home and the other that will travel to face the All Blacks in Wellington as well as the Pumas in Salta. But he has insisted that the split of squads hasn't created an A or a B side. But this is what he said in his own words.
Yeah, we see it as building up to the World Cup, but we're also realistic enough to know that seeing it as part of the World Cup and having hiccups, that supporters and players and the opposition, if there's hiccups there, will see it as a little bit of a failure building up to a World Cup. So even though we want to try and rectify things and build it up slowly to make sure that we peak at the right stages in the World Cup, you can't think you're going to lose a match here, build it up and say, yeah, we're working towards the World Cup or judges in the World Cup. You have to do well in the rugby championships while you're seeing it building up into a World Cup. So it is a continuous thing, but you also have to, in a way, isolate it and do well in the rugby championships. While saying that, we want to win the rugby championship, building into the World Cup, but again, you can't isolate the two as well. I hope that makes sense, if you understand what I'm saying. Obviously, the ideal is to win the rugby championship, build confidence, go into the World Cup. That's prize number one, with confidence. Winning it for the first time in 10 years, that's prize number one. But with that, there's some logistical challenges. We only play one game at home of the official rugby championships and then two games on the road, one which is New Zealand in Wellington, which is a challenge. So if you just purely think of the logistics around that, playing Australia here, getting on a plane on a Tuesday and a Monday and arriving there on a Tuesday, you don't have a realistic chance of beating New Zealand in New Zealand. So while seeing that, you'll see when the squad gets announced for Australia, it isn't an A and a B side. You'll see it clearly, I give you my word, it isn't an A and a B side. It's two competitive sides, because we do want to try and win both games. So if it was a case that we maybe played New Zealand the first away and then from there went straight to Argentina, if the draw was a little bit different and we had two home games, we could have maybe picked the best possible informed side, but the draw worked out. We have one home game and two away games, and it's a pretty much of a travel nightmare. So with that hand that we got dealt, we have to now split our resources a little bit, but with the negative of that, which isn't really a negative, it also gives us chance to test some fringe players, have a bigger squad that we work with. So yes, by all means, we want to win the rugby championships, which we're going to be a little bit of a challenge. Give us a nice springboard to go into that Japanese test match, and give us, if it goes well in the rugby championships, the last Argentina test match to test a few guys, maybe who didn't make the rugby championship squad now, and give a few guys some rest time in the last Argentina test match if we have to, and then, you know, pick the best side against Japan. So depending on how it goes, you know, if you lose a little bit momentum somewhere in the rugby championships, the plans will have to change because you have to pick up momentum then somewhere again.
Right, now let's get into our special guest. His name is Ayavuya Mioli, and he is a Highveld Lions fast bowler who hails from Ebisho, which is where I'm originally from myself. He played for the Dolphins before moving up north from Durban to play for the Lions as well as Gauteng in domestic competitions. Welcome, buddy. Thanks for joining me on the Sports Live podcast.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Swo.
Tell me, cricket's been a lot of cricket. Cricket World Cup. What have you made of that finish to the World Cup? You know, going to a super over, the super over being tied, and England winning purely because they had the most boundaries.
But me, when the World Cup started, I backed England to win the World Cup. So yeah, I think my team won.
Yeah.
So yeah, prior to that, they had a good preparation, and also the games that they played, they've been winning. So
yeah,
it's a very young team, and so yeah. Also, but the final was very interesting with that six runs that happened with the bat hitting. With that run.
Yeah.
I think the gods were on England's side. So
yeah,
it was interesting and a little bit soft from the Kiwi side.
Some people are saying that South Africa has been eclipsed. We've had such a bad tournament that we don't even hold the record of having the best one-day international match anymore. Some say that was the greatest ODI game, beating the 1999 Edgbaston Australia game. What do you think?
Yeah, it's one of those. Like the one South Africa played Australia, Alan Donald and Lance Klusener.
Exactly.
It's exactly the same. And it went to a power... super over, and it was still the super over. They couldn't just get a tie. And then England won through boundary counts or something like that.
That's crazy, bro. So what do you think of that rule, by the way? The boundary count rule. Do you think how can England were bowled out, but somehow they win a chase? Do you think that rule should be changed? That ICC law.
A lot of rules are there, ICC and MCC and all those kind of things. But yeah, it's cricket. You always have to abide by the rules that they put in. So yeah.
What in the tournament as a whole? Kane Williamson got player of the tournament. I think he got 570 odd runs. He was one of the top scorers. I think Rohit Sharma was the eventual top scorer. Who do you think between those two guys should have probably gotten player of the tournament at the World Cup?
I think Kane Williamson, because he got to the final.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I should have. It was a good.
Yeah.
To give him a play of the tournament.
Yeah.
And he did very well for the Kiwis.
Where were you watching the final?
I was at my place,
Just chilling.
Just chilling.
You didn't go to a pub or anything
that.
By the way, as we're recording this, I is about to go to training this morning, so he's managed to pop in and say, how's it? Which is great for us. Now tell me, how's it been going? The last time we chatted, you were hobbling a bit, and you were playing a three-day cricket for Gauteng. How are you feeling physically? Are you looking forward to the upcoming season?
Yeah, I am looking forward to the upcoming season. We've been doing a lot of off-season training.
Yeah.
I think we are now second term of off-season training.
Okay.
Training, it's been going well, and we've just added some skills and all those things now. So I'm looking forward to the upcoming season, and there's lots of goals to be achieved.
Yeah, physically.
Are you good, bro? I'm proper.
Yeah. How's Enoch? Coach Enoch, I know he had a sensational year, winning Zanzi Super League, winning the domestic T20, and I think was it the Momentum as well?
Yeah.
So
the Momentum one.
Yeah, so he won all the white ball competition.
But he won the 4-day.
Oh, he won the 4-day.
And the T20.
The T20 and
the Zanzi Super League.
Yeah. Okay, who won the Momentum one day? Warriors and Titans. But okay. And what's he like? What's Enoch's coaching style like?
Enoch is a very professional coach.
Yeah.
To say, like, when he came, I think it was he came to the Lions. I think there were a lot of young guys and stuff like that. So I think he was very professional in terms of discipline wise and all those kind of things. I think that's when, in terms of, I remember there was a stage where
there were
some like yo-yo tests, like your fitness tests and everything. So like he implemented small things into the team. Like if most guys when they run the yo-yo toss, they don't stop and they stop before the line and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then he made guys like past the line, those small little things,
small
and
adjustments
that you get used to and some all those things. And guys were like, off season, like, no, this is wrong. Why we used to run 18, now we're running 15.
Yeah,
those small things.
Yeah.
So it was just like twitching and fixing those small things. And then I think that's what made him. With the way I look at it, that's what made the Lions win those two tournaments.
Two domestic.
Because he had to focus on those small issues and those small disciplines.
Small details. Now, Enoch is one of those who honed his coaching overseas. Mm-hmm. So he's not really, I don't think he had a domestic gig. I think he was an assistant coach prior to getting the job overseas. So does he have any sort of strange methods where you think you're not really seeing this anywhere?
Yeah, and I think he's I'd say he went to St. Stephen's, so he's very, he went to St. Stephen's as a school fit. So yeah, and then he played for the Lions also a bit.
He played for the
Lions and also coached the Strikers. And yeah, he's been around. He's been around South Africa. Then he moved to Netherlands.
Where he
coached there for a bit.
Yeah,
I don't think that was. I think it was a year, season or two seasons or something like that. But yeah, he's a very professional coach and everything that he does. So yeah, it's a professional setup. I'd say it was more of a very professional setup.
What's different between him and Brad Jeff? Brad Jeff strikes me, I don't know, as the more laid back.
I enjoyed Jeff a lot also.
Yeah.
Because Jeff is more of a, I think Jeff, like when he started to win all those, remember when they won all those tournaments?
They won four.
So he was more of a laid back coach.
Yeah.
Because that time you had the Ototobes, your Tolekiles, all the Avira Petersons and stuff like that.
I think the
team suited his coaching style.
Right.
Yeah, okay. And then there was a lot of change in the Lions setup where they were kids and stuff. Not kids, like guys that are still
trying to get. But Vian Mulder, you would say, when he came in, he was a kid.
Yeah. So I think where you needed someone was going to be, I think it was not part of Jeff's coaching style.
To be hard on the players and stuff like that.
He's more of a chilled coach that talks to you and believes in you and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I think, Enoch just came with, I think the setup suited him for him to do what he's done this past season.
Would you like to see Brad Jeff getting high honors? By high honors, I mean like somewhere
deserves to be in the Protea setup. I would say he's done a lot for himself, and he's one of the best coaches in the country, I would say.
Yeah.
And it's just unfortunate for him what happened with the Proteas, also when was in the running for the Proteas coach and then the Lions now. Yeah, but that's cricket.
Yeah, I hope it's not sort of like, you know, when the timing is bad, it's not too late, because he kind of took a back seat when Enoch came and he became high performance manager. And I'm also told now that he might be joining one of the unions. Northerns. I got a huge tip off that Northerns want him and is very close to signing there. So, but you never know what happens in this game, in the sport. But yeah, and just more towards the domestic competitions. There's been like sort of, and I'm not gonna press you on the big changes, but the feeling in the country is that, you know, with the Proteas not doing well at the World Cup, you know, and the women didn't do great as well at the last T20 World Cup, which the women were expected to do a whole lot better at the T20 World Cup. Unfortunately, they couldn't pull the results across. The under-19s were clapped by Pakistan at home in Maritzburg. And then the SA emerging squad, which had Proteas in it, in the shape of Snethemba Qeshile, they lost to a Sri Lanka emerging side, as well as USA University Sports South Africa. It's not looking good, mate. Guys, what can we do to put a positive spin on cricket?
That's a big issue, yeah. But yeah, I think, like, South Africa has gone through a lot of changes in terms of cricket, in terms of all the systems, like the transformation thing and stuff like that. I think we still, cricket, I think they're still stuck. They're not accepting any changes and stuff like that. I think that's how I feel.
Yeah.
I think the moment we start accepting all the changes that are happening and work with them and stuff like that, and then have people fighting against it and all these people speaking against it, I think that's the cause of, I feel like that's the cause of the whole issue that's been happening. So, like, in terms of the Proteas, like, when you look at the team, that's a proper team. You look at
it is.
On paper, but then I think, I don't know what happened there at the World Cup, but you could see there's something in the changing room that the vibe is not well. So I think it's that. Also, you look at the SR19, a lot of people are talking things and through transformation, but this is wrong. Some other people are supporting it. I think we're not going towards the same direction.
We're not aligned.
We're not aligned. Going through the same direction.
Yeah.
And you look at the rugby, they were going through some stages like that.
Yeah.
Then they got things involved. Like, we look at, like, see a captain, they beat New Zealand and all this kind of thing. Because everything,
so now
they
everyone
just.
Is feeling
yeah,
good.
Everyone
yeah.
is feeling good. They put everything together and everyone worked to the same direction. They introduced those opaque, those kind of shows.
That kind of show, which
they,
is nice.
They talk
yeah.
and support mm-hmm. and talk about the history and all mm-hmm. the stuff of black rugby. I think in cricket, I think it's where we're lacking, I feel, that we don't have those kind of
shows.
I think we should. You think you should start something like that?
Dude, I can't start another park, a cricket park.
A cricket park, I think that's what you need. And then just talk about the history of black cricketers and understand. Also for the upcoming black cricketers to also see and understand what cricket has been played for a very long time.
Right. You're from Epi show. Like, when you think of the guys, even at Dale College, you know, Epi show is, I think for me, is one of the greatest cricketing hubs that you'll ever have. Epi show and Langa in Cape Town. That's where the black cricketers are found. What was it like growing up there? I know, but I left. I think I was about 6-7 years old when I left Epi show. But I know what it's like. But I want to hear from you, because when Ukulele Pa, you grew up there.
Yeah, I grew up Epi show. Grade 1 and grade 2. I went to Epi show primary.
But
I grew up while my brother's like 7 years older than me.
Yeah.
So I always grew up, he always loved playing cricket through where he learned from his friends in the streets and all those kind of things. So I was always playing with him in the streets and always a picture, you know, there's always soccer, cricket, rugby, I'll be playing in the streets and all those kind of things. So it was more of a sporting culture, the area, more of a sporting culture.
Mm.
And you had the likes of Dumisa Makalima. Tumani Boy that stayed just up the road, was playing rugby for, I think it was Storm at the time and stuff like that.
Yeah, he's played for the Storms, played for the Bulls and Sharks
and
as well.
Sharks.
Yeah.
Tumani Boy.
He's now the coach of Eastern Province.
That were running for South Africa and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was more of a sporting area.
It's a real sporting hub. Think of the sports journalists as well.
The sports journalist.
Umakarina, Velile Mbule, or Velile Mnyandu. Myself. You can put me in that category. Simnigiwe Xabanisa is also from there. These are great. I don't want to, you know, blow my own horn here, but these guys have done well for themselves, coming out of Epi show. And who else did I just think of now from Epi show? But the surrounding rural areas in built-in, you could include them. Lunge Lopai played for Western Province, played for Border. He was from built-in. Monde Zondeki played for Proteas. There's Who's this guy that went to the Bulls? Andile Joe, they're also from Built-In. So, and there's a new Bai kid, by the way, called Hlomla Bai. He's about 18 years old. Yeah, he's a lock as well. He's built tall, like his uncle is Lungelo. Yeah. So I think he's about to join the pro ranks. I don't know which team. Papa. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, from a great area, man. Mm. So before I release you to go to training, what has it been like playing domestic cricket, you know, and what do you still want to achieve in the game?
Yeah, I've enjoyed it. So I started playing when I moved to the Dolphins. That's when I started playing. So, yeah, with Lance Klusner as our coach.
Yeah.
Then Jeff called me down to Joburg.
Yeah, yeah.
And I played also this side. So it's been good. It's been some ups and downs, but I always, like, I do what I love. So I always enjoy it. I enjoy
the
game and everything. Enjoy the training and just being a professional sportsman and trying to live like a professional sportsman. It's like, it's part of my life, part of the lifestyle. So, yeah, I've been enjoying it. And goals, I still have goals. Every off-season, the goals still stay the same. I still want to play for my country. I still want to do well for the Lions. I still do well for the Strikers, for Gauteng.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the plan is that. So, we're starting with the Africa Cup now. That's what's coming.
Yeah.
So, I want to be in that squad, and I want to do well for them. I want to win it. And we've had a good season last season in terms of the Gauteng. We won the Africa Cup. We ended number two or three in the... In the one day, you end number three also in the
3 day.
In the 3 day.
Yeah.
And also the Lions had a good season. So, like, there's a lot of things happening in
Joburg.
Yeah. So also last season I did well with the ball for the Strikers.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate that I couldn't get into the Lions team. But I was also in the one of the players that were supposed to be in, but because they did well and guys were performing,
it was hard to break in.
But the coach kept communicating with me, telling me, okay, you're in the setup, you're in the system.
And all this thing. That's so good. I guess that's what you'd want, wouldn't you, as a player, just to know where you stand, right? Mm. Just on those players that did feature, I was very impressed by Nono Pongolo, Malu Sisiboto, those kind of guys. Do you think those guys are sort of underrated when it comes to, like, higher honors? Because I feel this is how I see sort of the white ball landscape. Mm. The guys are no longer picking, you know, maybe names. That let's go to the New Zealand team, for instance. They're picking according to who's going to make things very difficult for the opposition, right? So maybe your Lockie Ferguson and your Matt Henrys and your Jimmy Neeshams, they're not the best bowlers in the world. Mm. Like, you could look at the at the bowling rankings, they're nowhere. But they can defend at 241. Of course, they've got Bolt, right? Mm. Who is their express bowler. But we've got plenty of express bowlers. Mm. But what we don't have are those intricate, skillful guys. Like, we've got Andile, right? Mm. But most of the time, Andile is on his own. You got a Chris Morris and a Dwayne Pretorius, but I wouldn't put them in that intricate category. Like, there are guys that are so... Jofra Archer, for instance. Those guys, England, they didn't pick David Willey, and David Willey can bat, and he was very good for England in these past 4 years, like, very good, and it came down to Archer hadn't even played a single match for England before the World Cup. He's not even English. He's West Indian, you know. He was born in England of West Indian parents, right? And the West Indies didn't pick him at under 19, which was foolish of them. And he bowls the what you'd call the match winning over in the super over. That's what we don't do as South Africans. Like, we don't throw a curveball at the opposite. Like, we are so stale, bruh. Like, you know what you're gonna get from South Africa. 9 out of 10 times, it's 140K bowling, you know, express. And it's food and drink. If you're talking about the hitters, the best hitters, your Roy Sharmas, your Kane Williamsons, your Jason Roy, your Joss Butlers, your Stokes, So what do you think of those guys, some of which are your teammates? Sorry, I went on a little bit of a rant there for a second.
Also, I'm looking forward to what the change that's going to happen in terms of maybe if they change the coaching and stuff.
Coaches.
So I'm looking forward to seeing those changes. And that mostly depends on the coach, what kind of style he wants. Because we look at Otis Gibson. Otis Gibson was a fast bowler. So that's what he
prefers.
That depends on the coach. So yeah, we've got a lot of guys like your Sibotos, you've got your Nono Pongolos.
Yeah.
The guys that have the skill.
Yeah.
They're not the quickest guys.
Yeah.
But they'll be there and they'll be playing with the ball and they're thinking bowlers to say.
Yeah.
And then you have the guy that I don't know, Sanda Magala, I think he deserves it.
I think so, bro.
But yeah, guys like Sanda Magala. Sanda Magala is supposed to have a. I feel like he's supposed to be played for Pro Tiers.
He's been very good for the Warriors.
Been consistent
the last five years or six years.
He's been doing very well for the Warriors. And he's been one of those senior guys. So I feel hard. It's hard for him. But yeah, I think he'll probably get a chance in the upcoming season.
Okay.
And Peshlukwayo has shown it. Peshlukwayo doesn't have pace, but he's the most commonest guy.
Imagine having
two of those guys
just making it impossible to get it away.
But South Africa, as you know, we pride ourselves in our fast bowlers. So yeah. I'm looking forward to what's gonna happen with the new coaching, if it changes.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So who's gonna be the coach and stuff like that? I think that will determine where they will be instead in the next couple of years of cricket.
Well, you're part of the fast bowling crop, so you're probably not going to knock it. Yeah, but let me release you to go to training. Fascinating conversation. Thanks for coming through, buddy. I really, really appreciate it. And before we close, I did give you a little bit of a heads up, which is probably unfair on the other guests that have come here. I need you to give me an upset and a playmaker of the week. Your upset of the week options are New Zealand beating India in the Cricket World Cup semi-finals, Spar Proteas beating Jamaica at the Netball World Cup. Jamaica are ranked second in the world and the Proteas are ranked fifth. Dylan Fritelli stealing the John Deere Classic from the largely American field and booking a spot at the British Open. And Simona Halep beating the Queen Serena Williams at Wimbledon to win her first Wimbledon title.
Upset.
That's
it. I think like Serena has been struggling to win a Grand Slam, and I think he's left with, he needs to win one to tie, and then that's an upset for me because she's getting a bit older and she always loses in the finals and stuff like that. It's the second one now in the Wimbledon straight.
Yeah, I think
the Wimbledon. So yeah, I think that's an upset for me. I would love it to get to the record and take it.
Yeah. Oh, unfortunate for Serena, but I think she's got one more in her. Two's gonna be very hard. But that's just me. I've been called a hater on Twitter for that opinion.
You never know. Serena Williams will
she'll win this US Open.
US Open.
I can actually put money on that. I think she'll win this US Open. And then from there, it's going to be very, very difficult. All right, let's get to the playmaker. Oof, the list here threatened to be long, but I've moved things around. England winning the Cricket World Cup, beating New Zealand in those bizarre circumstances that we've spoken about. Novak Djokovic winning Wimbledon, his fifth Wimbledon and 16th overall Grand Slam title. And Lewis Hamilton winning his sixth British Grand Prix. And finally, Daryl Impey winning stage 9 of the Tour de France. This is your playmaker. This is the play of the week.
I'll give it to England.
The cricket bias.
Winning the World Cup with Ben Stokes showing us what he's made of. So that was very inspiring from him after the whole past that he's had with this media and stuff like that.
And the court case, all those things.
Losing his sponsorship with New Balance and all those things. For him to come back that's what he's made of. Everyone knows that he's the guy that can pull things out. So yeah. I'll give it to England and Ben Stokes.
And Ben Stokes. So you're particularly passing the ball straight to Ben Stokes.
Yeah.
Yeah, fabulous. No, he was absolutely brilliant. I can't begrudge you that. And like you said, he's made of hard stuff, eh? Stokes. Thanks very much, buddy. Hopefully we'll chat again soon throughout the season. And all the best. Hopefully you stay healthy and fit. That's the most important thing. And I'm sure we'll see you more and more in that Highveld Lions setup.
Thanks, bro.
Cheers, bud.
Cheers.
That's it from me, Sboom Jikeliso, and you've been listening to the Sports Live podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. Do also catch us on timeslive.co.za, as well as Sowetan Live, Business Live. We are also on Iono FM, the Apple Podcast Store, or wherever you get your podcasts. It could be Spotify, Stitcher, CastBox, Pocket Cast, wherever. To connect with us, please use the hashtag SportsLive. Share your comments with us at TimesLive or at Sowetan Live on Twitter. A big thank you goes out to the Multimedia Live team led by Scott Peter Smith and producer Paige Muller, as well as the Tiso Black Star Digital Sports Department headed by Mninawa Mchana Ntloko. Our sound and audio mixer is Innocent Manyike. From us at the Sports Live podcast, it's goodbye for now.